You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about Pelé and his refusal to let go of his goal-scoring record. Nobody is taking it from him. Also, we talk about Lindsey Horan and some new details about her time at PSG.
That's right. Plus, we talk to Taylor Twellman of ESPN. We, of course, talk about burgers almost the entire time, but we also bring up the U.S. men's national team, where are we today, and a lot more. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, let's go.
Come on.
I am thrilled about today's show. I'm rocking in my seat.
Are you excited?
I'm bouncing around because
I was just about to say, what are you doing? What are you doing?
We are joined by Taylor Twellman today. He's going to be on the show a little bit later of ESPN, of Sports Nation, of course, of the popular, one of the most viral moments in American soccer history. The what are we doing?
Okay. Yep.
All right. And Nutmeg wants to know what we're doing.
Yeah. Okay? Nutmeg's like, are we going for a walk? What are we doing? Absolutely. It's going to be a fun show. This is the first time having Taylor on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely thrilled.
And I'm already on first name basis with my guy. You know what I mean? I'm calling him Taylor T. Double T.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived.
Yep. It also happens to be the Gully issue. You already know that. Why am I even bringing it up?
Okay. We didn't even need, but we're contractually obligated to keep reminding you.
Right? Yep. Who did we sign that contract with? We're not allowed to say. That's how Gully it is. You
know what I mean? Okay. It's some bad people.
Right? We're kind of scared, to be honest with you.
But yes, thrilled for today's show because obviously a lot going on. U.S. men's national team. We got friendlies. We got
so much happening.
Olympics, just a lot going on in the soccer world. So, where should we begin first? Let's talk about. Obviously, we're taping this before the friendly against Jamaica, the U.S. men's national team friendly against Jamaica. But it's still a lot to discuss. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the teams looked okay, you know.
I want to start with this is a bit. We've seen the issues with Pelé. Pelé is very stuck on his goal record. He claims
as you that would be, right? If you're Pelé, you're not just gonna let go of being Pelé, bruh.
He claims that he, you know, obviously he has the record for most goals scored in world football. He always says that. But there's obviously Cristiano Ronaldo, who's coming close to that record, and has officially broken the record with 770 goals.
If you ask anybody but Pelé, you know?
Pelé, every time he acknowledges that Ronaldo now has this record, there is so much reluctance. There's so much. He is grinding his teeth, saying
he does find a little. He throws a couple asterisks in there, you know, asterisk eye, whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
So he just the other day he got a kit that says GOAT, and it says 770 on it, and then Juve proceeded to lose the match
against the 16th place, or at least now they are Benevento, which Pelé called Benevento and was like, you know what to do, boys. You know what I mean?
Isn't Benevento, I'm thinking of Buena Vista Social Club?
Vista Social Club is the Cuban band. The Cuban band. Or Del Boca Vista from Seinfeld. I can't believe they went out and lost to Del Boca Vista. They're no longer welcome there. Ronaldo got handed a GOAT jersey, which it said GOAT on the back, which I didn't know was Italian. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. I believe it stands for you should be in jail. That's what the acronym stands for in Italian.
Yeah, interesting that the acronym doesn't really work.
Why they pose for the photo? What I hate about this is whenever somebody has like a three-number jersey, like many years ago they gave an old person a 911 jersey, you know what I mean? Like as a joke. They always use the double XL for it to fit all three numbers.
Yeah.
Why always got to be the big jersey, bro?
Can we make the numbers smaller?
Yeah. Why you got to throw me? Why you got to throw me and my peoples under the bus? You know what I mean?
But like you said, Pelé, whenever he acknowledges it, he's always like, congratulations for the official goal score record. And when it's just like, okay, well, is there something else?
What he said, he's like, oh, so you scored the most in official matches. Well, ain't that cute? Call me when you beat everything I've done ever. You know,
you read it, but you have to read it sarcastically, because that's the only way to really capture how Pelé is actually saying it.
Yeah, because Pelé wants to continue to be Pelé. He wants to be the greatest ever of all time. He ain't trying to hear your arguments.
Well, I mean, look, he's not. Is his legend gonna be diminished at all? I don't understand.
I mean, he's kind of old. Look, he ain't got a lot of time left. Just let him believe you're the greatest until he leaves. And then after he's done, we can rewrite history. You know what I mean? Why are you doing this?
absolutely surreal. But speaking of Juve losing, like you said, to a 16th place team, they are not doing well. And now there's even concern that they might miss out on Champions League. Obviously, they just lost a devastating match to Porto. But what's the future of Juve if they do not make it into Champions League?
It is a Pirlo-less future, that's for sure. So they're currently in third place with 55 points. Atalanta's in fourth with 55 points as well. They're exact tied in goal differential as well. And then Napoli's in fifth place with 53, and Roma is in sixth with 50. I mean, there's within one loss. One loss could shoot you down to potentially seventh place if you're Juventus, if other games go their way. So this isn't looking great for Juventus right now. It's not looking great for Cristiano Ronaldo. It's not looking great for Pirlo. Pirlo potentially out. Ronaldo's talking about he wants to go to Real Madrid or United again, or potentially go to MLS. Do not come to MLS. We don't want you. unless it's, longest yard type thing. If you want to do that, you know what I mean? Keep your hands off our ladies, please.
There's a lot of, just the fact that all these rumors are happening and hearing Juve speak confidently, like, oh, no, he's not going anywhere. It's like, it's not dependent on, he's not there for the project. You know what I mean?
No.
They didn't spend all this money.
He got his own project. I'm here to win trophies.
They are there, obviously, to win the Champions League specifically. And he has not been able to help them get there. I don't know how much patience they have. Just the possibility, we were used to when it came to the Scudetto, we knew who was going to win it every year. I mean, the last 7 years, 8 years, we knew who was going to win it. And then to have this season after the coaching change, I think this is a lesson to a lot of clubs in Europe. Just because you miss out, you lose in Champions League and you don't win that trophy, doesn't mean, all right, blow up the whole thing. Let's start over with a new coach, because you might be in a worse place than when you started.
Absolutely. And it's also a sign that if maybe you shouldn't be buying someone who's in their late 30s or mid 30s and paying them as much money as Juventus did. And you could use that money across the board for other better players, and particularly another McKennie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but give Weston McKennie more money. He'll play better.
Just buy more Americans. Come on now. Christian, let's talk about Manchester United. We had Adam McCullough on, and he was feeling good after beating Manchester City, and now they are down bad. Wow.
Yeah, they were knocked out of FA Cup. They lost to Leicester City. Leicester City been obviously great. They're in third place in the Premier League, or fourth? Third, I believe, right? Good team. This was
they're down fourth. Yeah, because Chelsea is now in third.
Good. It was always going to be a tough fixture. But
I think
you'd expect United to beat them, though, right? United seem like just more structurally sound for a competition of this level.
And they've been on a bit of a roll. They've been playing well the last couple of weeks. This is always the issue with FA Cup, where sometimes the squads are rotated. You don't know exactly who's going to show up, and then the players that are playing that played in the Premier League are probably going to be a little bit tired. And mm-hmm. this seemed to be the I don't want to say excuse, the reasoning that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer pretty much said, like, he thinks that this is why they lost. It was just like they seem pretty tired. And then
the fan base is furious, and his quote is, "Of course we're disappointed, we're out, but probably it's just the sum of all the factors of all the games we've played lately, all the injuries. I don't want to make excuses." That's what you're doing. But I try to find an explanation, and an explanation is we had a few players coming back who have not really trained a lot.
Well, does that explain why Fred just gave the ball to Iheanacho to tap it into the net?
I mean, if you're Leicester, is Fred the signing of the season for you?
Right? Look, we spoke with Adam McCullough about him in particular, right? Should he be on Manchester United? Is he good enough?
If I remember correctly, he said he can't pass wind.
He did. Yeah. And
proved him pretty correct.
I mean, this play, Iheanacho just gets in the way of it couldn't have been a better pass, right? To Iheanacho.
Perfectly weighted for Iheanacho, the keeper, which is what he wanted to.
I don't understand the pass from Harry Maguire. Why you have all the time in the world? Like, what is this play that they're trying to run? They're trying to play out of the back. What is this? What is the point? Fred has a defender on his back who's about to put some pressure on him. Mm-hmm. Why did Harry Maguire have to give him the ball? There weren't many other scenarios besides a poor back pass to the goalkeeper that gets intercepted and tapped into the net. It looked really, really bad.
Because Harry Maguire's trying to get all the heat off of him. He was like, "Look, he's going to look worse. Let me pass it off to him." You know,
literally two of the fullbacks are open. Just give it. Play it safe. What are we doing?
Yeah. So now United is out of the FA Cup. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't seem to care. They're out of the Carabao Cup. They're not going to win the Premiership. So what exactly happens? All they have left is Europa.
Mm-hmm.
Is this? We've talked about, I mean, they're in second place. They've had a pretty good season. They've made a great comeback. But now we're back into saying, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer going to get fired after this season if they don't win a trophy?
Well, what are the standards for Manchester United at this point, right? I think just making Champions League is good enough to keep your job.
That seems like a shame.
All right? This isn't the man you of old. Okay, we're done with that, all right?
It ain't Sir Gunnar Solskjaer.
Just give him a participation trophy and keep it moving.
Whatever, right? We're here. We didn't get relegated.
So let's talk about a bit of a more serious subject for a moment, because this just came out recently. Obviously, Lindsay Horan, who plays for the Portland Thorns, she has been very public about her time when she played at PSG, the level of kind of emotional abuse she had to deal with from coaching staff about her weight and appearance and things like that. And she's never really been too detailed about it, just said that that it was a thing that she dealt with, and she obviously didn't appreciate it. But she recently did a Butterfly Road podcast, and she went into more detail about what she actually experienced, and some of the stuff she dealt with is unreal. I mean, regardless if it's a man or woman, a male or female athlete dealing with this stuff, to be treated this way by any coaching staff seems at the very least too excessive to whatever they're trying to achieve is. So
this is just horrific. One of the things she said was an assistant coach literally slapped a snack out of her hand and grabbed the side of her waist. You slapped a snack out of my hand, I'm slapping the taste out your mouth. You know what I mean? Who are you? Nobody slaps I mean, this isn't. Is the entire coaching staff Latino moms? You
know what I mean? Well, this is. I don't remember the sketch show Inside Amy Schumer. There was a sketch that was this exact sketch where it was like a diet program that was
you
somebody
hire
slapping,
someone
slapping the stuff out of your hand, and it's funny as a sketch. But when you're at work and it's real life, it is. You can imagine it would be a little bit scarring,
right? Unless she asked the lady to be like. Or the guy, hey, if you see me eating a snack, slap it out of my hand.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to slap a snack out of anybody's hand, make sure you have consent first. I hope that's clear. So here's some of the other stuff. Coaching staff announcing to the team that she and several other players were on diets. Fining players for having desserts and double fining the players on diet.
So if you are on a diet and you have dessert, you get a double fine. I would never make it through a week of this. After excelling at preseason fitness testing, the coach told Horan in front of the team that she still weighed too much and she lost so much weight that she remembers having zero energy as a result of reducing her food consumption to unhealthy levels in an effort to lose weight. This is ridiculous. These are athletes.
This is how you you give people like eating disorders. I mean, there's just no other. This is so severe and so unnecessary, and this doesn't help you win games, in my opinion.
This ain't how you do it. These are athletes. They got to be in tip-top shape, not in tip-top look. Jesus Christ. We got Taylor Twelman when we get back right after this.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and you guys being Gully Squad. And you know what? Maybe I keep saying you. Maybe you're listening to this and you're not a member of Gully Squad and you're wondering why. Well, I've given you amazing, reasons why I've told you the Slack channel is absolutely amazing. Here's another reason why I think Gully Squad is absolutely incredible and why you should join is because whenever we have guests and we've had everything from World Cup winners to MLS, Premier League, and WSL, legends of the game, we've had incredible, incredible players on our show, incredible guests from comedians like Roy Wood Jr. of The Daily Show, incredible guests. The only people who get to ask them questions besides Christian and I are Gully Squad. Gully Squad finds out early who our guests are, and they get the chance to put those questions in the Slack. Those are the only other questions we ever ask. If you want to be one of those folks, if you want to join the amazing Slack channel, if you want to become a part of this community, if you want to start, cooperating with some of the Gulliest kit, the kit that they're making for themselves, if you want to drop some knowledge in the coffee or the beer and wine liquor section or the food porn section, all that, you got to join Gully Squad. Most importantly, if you also want to ask questions of our guests, you either got to become a cooligan, which is impossible, right? Unless you're funnier than Christian, then try out, let me know. Or you got to join Gully Squad and join that Slack community. So if you want to do that, just go to shoutstous.com. Again, that's shoutstous.com. Or you can simply go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad. In fact, if you go to soccercooligans.com, it's our website. We worked really hard on it. We think it's really nice. And all over the place, you'll find buttons to join Gully Squad. So do it today.
All right, we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and Christian, our guest is here, and I'm excited because
I am hype. I am thrilled. This is
buddy.
A conversation that's honestly been long overdue for this show.
A U.S. soccer legend,
okay.
And one who's been very upfront about some injuries he's had and how important that is to the game, and I think that's super important. But he apparently failed to mention that he must have got 2 foot in the taste buds because my man has some trash understandings of burgers. What's going on here? Okay. And by the way, I've already said this. Apparently, I'm not welcome in Texas anymore.
Yeah. You hate that. You hate the injury to the taste buds.
Right? He's
out 4 to 6 weeks from ESPN, I think.
How did it happen? He needed an umamiadectomy. You know what I mean? Because his taste buds are all wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, he works for ESPN, MLS legend, U.S. Men's National Team legend, Sports Nation legend, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only Taylor Twelman.
Taylor, what's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? How are you guys doing? And by the way, what's the surgery called?
An umamiadectomy. And again, I hate to use such medical terminology on this show.
Yeah, we're not trying to talk over you, but you know what I mean. It's just, you're here. Learn you something, Taylor.
Okay. So. So the point is, when you get your seventh concussion, apparently everything just goes out the window with regarding taste buds. Okay. But you know what comes in when you get your seventh concussion? The truth, the truth. Yeah. And that's exactly what I was speaking about.
I think
about,
that's just
ranking
the
burgers.
That's the radio receptions you're getting in your brain, bro.
Okay, before...
Well, as long as neither one of you turn on the microphone, because I'll piss myself if it does, then we're good. Only I can make that joke. Everyone watching, only I can make that concussion joke. You can't.
Yeah. So before, just in case people are not aware, just must have been a week ago, a week and a half ago, you had posted...
You broke the Fat Boy Internet.
Fat Boy Internet is definitely very popular, and they're coming after you, Taylor. Yeah. There was a ranking. You are obviously you're on Sports Nation on ESPN Plus. You were talking about burgers came up, and you had a very very strong opinion about In-N-Out because you said it is overrated.
Everyone pictured you at an In-N-Out yelling, "What are we doing? What are we doing?"
For the record. Way before What Are We Doing, I may have done that at In-N-Out. Because when you serve me cold potatoes and call them french fries, I'm out. But then you sell me on this double-double with animal style and all of this. It is the most overrated burger. And yet, nobody wants to say that, Christian Alexis. You know why? Because it's the truth. And then all of a sudden, everyone on the West Coast is like, Did he really just say that? Even though deep down everybody's going, the burger is kind of crap. Like, it's not that good.
Do
you go to Five Guys or Shake Shack? By the way, where are you two located right
We're
now?
New Yorkers. We're in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Is there an In-N-Out in New York?
No, there isn't. And I will say this.
And by the way, if it was that good of a burger, would it be in New York?
Of course.
The answer is 100% unequivocally, yes, sir. It's not that good. You know it and I know it. Now, because I threw in Whataburger, because I threw in maybe a Fuddruckers, even though Fuddruckers is a fantastic burger, the truth is it really cut a lot of people deep. And I mean deep.
Yeah. Deep through all the fat layers that I have in my body. And I will say this. You're right about In-N-Out. In-N-Out is way overhyped. It's a fun burger to eat. It is not a great burger to eat. What I think a lot of people don't know is that you have a lot of options. So you and I are going to go to an In-N-Out one day. And I'm going to show you how I order. And my order takes about 7 minutes to say, because you can really, you can do anything you want. You get caramelized onions
on
there.
What's your order right now? Tell me your order right now.
I'm not going to go through the whole thing right this moment, but I get a toast. I get the bun extra toasted. I get the french fries well done. I get sauteed onions. I get one slice of cheese, two patties. I do get the animal stuff. I mean, I go in. But that's what In-N-Out is for. And I think a lot
Christian,
of people don't know that.
He goes to Wendy's and orders a Kobe beef burger. I mean, like, come on.
He wants gourmet. That's what
the
he
problem
expects.
The problem with your ranking is that Whataburger even made it. It should be called What a Bummer. It is the most disgusting thing.
First off, Whataburger made it because in 2007, we won the Open Cup final in Dallas. And at 4:30 in the morning, I'm going to tell you right now, with that Open Cup trophy sitting in my lap, there may have not been a better burger at that moment in my life and for the New England Revolution history. So for everyone watching this, Whataburger makes the list every single
time. So you heard it here first. Taylor never won in Los Angeles.
Dude, I never won anywhere else. You already know that answer.
You got to take the nostalgia where you can find it, you know?
Absolutely. Christian, that nostalgia could be literally in Mars. And I promise you right now, I will take it.
You're like, how did Checkers make it? He's like, dude, I had a party in Paterson, New Jersey.
You have no idea. I shot 69. It's the first time I ever broke 70 on the golf course. Yeah. That was the only thing
look,
close.
As a person, look, I'm the half of this show that is not, getting into knife fights with people about food. I saw your list. And first of all, I was like, I'm like, okay, Taylor needs to tone it down. All right. It's just a burger. That's my honest opinion. I mean, like, is everything okay with Taylor Twelman? That was my first thing. But I'm like,
meanwhile,
okay.
I'm yelling on the other end.
but then I'm like, you know what? He's an entertainer. I understand what he's doing. But then I saw all the responses. I mean, this tweet alone probably has, I think I saw 300 to 400 comments already.
Oh no, it went viral very quickly where people were just like, Christian, it was insane.
So everybody, Whataburger is great. Whataburger is trash, the whole thing. I felt like I was one of the only like two people on there that was like, hey, you know what? I like a nice, healthy, organic burger from Shake Shack.
Easily.
Delicious. Yeah. Shake Shack is great.
Shake Shack is incredible. Shake Shack blows it away. Shake Shack blows in and out of the
100%.
You two know this better than I do.
Yeah.
But I've had family in New York for 20 years. If it's really good, New York's going to put one in there. So, like, they're going to find a way to put it in there. They just are. New York has everything else in the world, no In-N-Out. And so everyone on the West Coast, everyone west of the Mississippi, listen, it's overrated.
Yeah.
It is. And Christian, by the way, I'm not an entertainer. I do this with my kids at home. Like, if they're not brushing their teeth, what are we doing comes out? It's just who I am.
He's like, you're going to eat that Cheez-It snack?
You're going to eat it.
It doesn't even make my top three.
This is what In-N-Out does. You don't want cold potatoes? Like, come on.
Yeah, your kids are just like, oh, dad's being intense again.
Okay. Or the kids are like, yo, be mean to dad. You get In-N-Out.
Don't worry about it.
I've gone to In-N-Out. It was fine. I left. I'm too impartial. And look, maybe I have to be the voice of reason between you two.
I disagree. At least Alexis and I take a stance.
Yeah.
You just sit on the fence.
You've solved Christian. You've completely solved Christian.
Like, who just sits on the fence? Like, if you're going to do something, at least make it wrong, but do something. Like, if you just sit on the fence, you're like, well, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you my guidance counselor,
player, by the way? Just do something.
Yeah. Taylor's advice is go and make mistakes that you can't change, and they're going to affect you for the rest of your life. As long as you make a choice.
Get a tattoo, kid. Get a tattoo on your face. What are you doing? Make a choice.
Kid 7.
Yeah. Look, we could talk about burgers pretty much the entire episode, which I am 100% fine with, but I do want to talk about food. I think, you know, we're big fans of pizza here. We talk about food all the time on our show. And recently, Sebastian Soda was on your show and mentioned the Serginho Dest controversy, the carb controversy, and the carb up, bro. Obviously, people have
carb up.
All right, just tattoo it on my body, okay?
Yo.
He was fantastic. Soto was fantastic. And we asked him, like, just the craziest story he had about a teammate. And good on him to give the first American to ever play with Messi at Barcelona, right? Because you know that story's going to go viral in 2 seconds. You know, if he's telling a story about, you know, Hassani Dotson, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be funny. But then you're like, wait, Serginho Dest? And secretly, I sent it around to a bunch of people in the U.S. soccer community and said, does Messi eat baguettes and only playing baguettes? Because if he does, I think the whole world's going to eat a baguette every single day with nothing on it.
Also, let's put some respect on eating an entire loaf of bread in the morning, okay? Because some of us do apparently all I need to do is kick a few balls around. I've been missing out on the second half of the equation my entire life.
Wait, hold on. A plain baguette, you eat that in the morning?
I 100% would. Without a problem. And I have, actually. Let's be honest. I have. A baguette, if it's made correctly, has a lot of sourness to it. It's got flavor. It doesn't need anything else.
Okay. Yeah, that was the lean back, the sigh of concern.
Yeah. You know? It's when your friends tell you they believe that one weird conspiracy theory. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
No, I like the idea. Yeah, just...
I'm also Cuban. We dip everything in our coffee, so to say, I eat.
Hold on. Exactly my point. I can't tell you another Cuban in my life, another Latino in my life that says, I'll have a No chance. I mean, there's going to be a little jalapeno juice or something. At least.
Yeah, I'll dip it in my coffee for sure.
It also begs a question because Soto had that story. Do you have any stories, food-related stories, U.S. men's national team, anything that that comes to your mind?
Or like weird superstitions. I know some players have some.
No, there was, you know, I remember, so it's not even a soccer story, but it is because Ray Allen was playing with the Celtics and he was a massive just soccer fan in general. And he and I kind of hit it off because of our love for golf and whatnot. And I just remember sitting there, probably the second time we were hanging out, just shooting it and talking it. And I looked at him, I said, your entire career, you've eaten the same pregame meal every single, and he goes, same thing. 18 years or whatever it was. And I looked at him going, dude, like, you couldn't be more boring. And yet I probably had 4 or 5 U.S. soccer national team teammates when I would try to, guys, put it this way. You go into these national team camps, you're trying to pick up little things like maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe they're doing it differently. You try to look at certain guys. But then you start to see what they're doing. You're like, nah, man, I'd rather be me. I'm cool. I'm good. Like, that's what they're doing? No, I'm out. I'm out. Like, I'm not doing that. If I can't be the player that I'm going to be, but I have to do that.
Yeah.
So Pablo Mastroianni, first one, shows up at camp. We're preparing for the World Cup. And he's got a jar of pickles. Okay. So I'm looking at Pablo. I'm like,
little cologne, maybe?
So I'm not going to say anything. Right. Like, right away. So I'm like, a jar of pickles? Like, what? So I'm sitting there looking around, and anyone watching this that play with me knows it doesn't take me that long to bust someone's balls. Yeah. But obviously this one, I was a little like intrigued, but also nervous. Cause I'm like, oh, this may be some voodoo type stuff where you're like, I'm out. I am
the
out.
Pickles got needles poking out of it.
Dude. No, no. So it's a jar of pickles and we are going out before warmups. And he goes like this and takes a huge shot of pickle juice. Now, I love all peppers, jalapenos. I love it all. I love banana peppers. I love pickles. I love it all. Not before I go out on the field for a pregame. Not before. So I'm sitting there. And so finally, I look at, of all people, Frankie Hadick. Wrong guy to ask because he just had 17 Red Bulls. Yeah. And I was like, Frankie, what's up with Pablo? And he's like, oh, no, man. Dude, it's so good for you. It's like no lactic acid, anything. So naturally, I'm like, I'm going to give it a shot. No joke. I downed a shot of pickle juice. And within 2 minutes later, I was like, oh God. Like I just had White Castle burgers. I'm like, I'm out. I can't do it. And we're wearing all white home uniforms, boys. So you know what that drill is. Yeah. I was like, I'm out. I was at least 10 minutes late, but a jar for warmups, a jar of pickles.
Bro,
I was like, see,
our producer,
rather, no joke. I'd rather cram.
Our producer said it's good for your joints. And I'm like, I guess so, you know?
Yeah, but throw me some salami and other shit.
If I'm going to drink pickle juice, you better be a shot of whiskey in front of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Christian, to answer your question, the pickle juice was the first time in my playing career, other than my first game in Germany the night before. Guido Gorgeous was my roommate. What a fantastic East German name. Yeah. What a handle that is. Guido Gorgeous. He smoked two pack of cigarettes. And had a six pack of lager the night before the game. And I'm 18 going, I'm in the, like, where did I end up? He was man of the match and he ended up signing on for like a new night. So immediately I called home and I'm like, Dad, I think I got to start smoking.
You're puffing on cigs. Like, I'm an athlete, I'm like, bro. I'll take my career serious.
Pops, they've got the tight jeans over here. They're just getting into Baywatch 2. They're watching, you know, Fresh Prince, all that stuff. And they smoke the night before a game. I'm not doing this right. I'm trying to get Gatorade imported. I'm trying to do all this stuff. And my man Guido is smoking, sitting in the corner playing Keno in German. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I am doing this all wrong. Literally for six weeks. Every road trip, I'm like, I'll room with Guido. And I'm like, God, I'm hammered. I smell like I played freaking poker all night. And I'm trying to make a team. And my man's man of the match. And he's moving on to a bigger club.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you ain't winning MVP trophies being a nerd, Taylor.
Yeah, stop being so square, Taylor.
I know. Like, I'm sorry for trying to make this work. But by the way, hand me a six-pack, will you?
Yeah, you just got American spirits. You're like, I'm going to show y'all how to do this.
I became the Marlboro man in Munich.
Yeah, that's your new sponsor.
Hearing stories about even like hearing soccer play, you know, how it was, how locker rooms were, even like 10 years ago, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like we've turned a corner to just not, you know, harming yourself before matches and to be able to play at the highest level.
Is social media has changed it.
Yeah. You can't.
If there was social media back then.
I'm not that old.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys. Social media, I think, has ruined that atmosphere. It's ruined the camaraderie. I know everyone watching this in the soccer world now is saying, I'm get off my lawn, that kind of guy. No, I'm not. That locker room, that sanctimony, that like ability to bust chops and, it's all public now, right? Yeah. And so you used to have beers in the locker room after game. That ain't going to happen right now. No chance, because all it takes is one person. And then you sit there and you're like, well, okay, how many beers? Some of it for good, but you follow where I'm going. It's just, Christian, you're 100% right. About 10 years ago, when social media came right into this thing around the 2010 World Cup, a lot of this has changed. A lot of it.
Unless okay. You win the women's World Cup and the World Cup, if you're the women, then have as much beer as you want in that locker room, bro.
I wouldn't know that. That's winning the World Cup. I am the wrong person to try to simulate.
He has his open cup at Whataburger. Leave him alone.
Yeah. He's like, I'll take another horrible cheeseburger, please. Thank you very much.
I also have the World Cup trophy here that was used in 2005 for our FIFA tournament with the refs that I somehow kept.
Not bad. At least you got it for the
studio. Everyone on ESPN thinks, wow, that's a cool replica of the World Cup trophy. I'm like, yeah, that's what it was. It's 4:30 in the morning at Whataburger. I'm carrying that thing.
And we actually, obviously, Gully Squad being our supporters group, so we got a lot of great questions for you, Taylor. In fact, I want to bring up Dennis Higgins because it's not so much a question, but he just wanted to say thank you for saying it the way you said it when we didn't qualify in 2018. He said most sportscasters would have sort of maintained their professionalism. And he put that in quotes. I didn't do that. I didn't add that. And given some bland, generic party line, but you gave your raw emotion. And I want to ask you about that because I think at the moment it was easy to sort of pinpoint you as saying like, well, you're making a big deal out of it if you were U.S. soccer and whatnot. But where do you think we are now? Because from where we were that day to right now, there seems to be like so much more positivity, good feeling and goodwill towards the team. But the expectations have risen to an incredible point. Where do you think we are? And the showings of the qualifying, the Olympics have not been incredible. Where do you think we are as a federation? Where do you think we are as a development? Where do you stand right now? Do you think we are doing something good? Or are you still asking, what the hell are we doing? You know?
Well, when you hit rock bottom, anything afterwards is going to be positive.
Good point.
Because it's going to be better than rock bottom. So I say that tongue in cheek, but I also say that seriously, because when you see the amount of younger players being developed in this country, which before the debacle of World Cup qualifying, I remember saying this on ESPN networks and other platforms, but also saying it with MLS, that when Pulisic had his immediate success, I had multiple scouts in and around Europe saying, give us 4 or 5 years, you're going to have 20 to 30 Pulisics and even 100, not of that caliber, but of younger players here in this country that are going to be on the radar of European scouts. Well, I'm not saying I said anything that was revolutionary, but the truth is it's come to fruition as we've now seen it. However, it's one thing to have talent. It's another thing to put it together. There are many talented teams that have never qualified for their continental competition for the World Cup. Just look at the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. They've had some of the best players in this world and missed World Cups. Look at Italy in the last World Cup. So I get all of that. The problem for me to sit here and tangibly say we are better is I haven't seen any real games. And that's not on Greg Berhalter's fault. It's not U.S. soccer. But this pandemic has thrown a massive, massive wrinkle into trying to develop these guys against quality competition. Guys, we're going to see games against Northern Ireland, Jamaica. We saw it against Panama in Europe until Switzerland in June of 2021. That's going to be the first real test that we've seen since Mexico and whatnot. So it's very difficult for me to tangibly say we're better. But for all of you watching this saying that we're going to win the World Cup, the United States is sure as hell going to try to win the World Cup. But if that's the level of expectation for this group, ultimately, we're all going to be disappointed, because I think that's way out of control and way out of hand from where we are right now.
Okay. And
my bookmaker real quick. Hold on.
I would absolutely call your bookmaker right now, because the odds are going to be fantastic. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Talking about that particular moment, because that was a moment on ESPN, the What Are We Doing? We have to talk about in detail, because this – And you were with our homie Max Brados on SportsCenter, and it's great because we're not always hearing about soccer on SportsCenter, and you delivered one of the more
less professional, according to your fan base.
It was, you were like Kanye when he said George Bush don't care about black people, and Max Brados was like, hey, okay, he going for it. I guess keep the camera on him, you know.
It was amazing. See, I mean, you delivered one of the more impassioned, speeches, really, about your frustration with this. And I think turned a lot of people on to not just the people who didn't acknowledge like soccer or don't find it important. Mm-hmm. It took even me, someone who cares about soccer, from a point of like, oh, I get that this is bad, but maybe I don't really understand like how bad it is or how embarrassing it is. And it took it to the point where like, yo, this is really, really serious. Yeah. And so you do your segment on Sports Nation, What Are We Doing? Mm-hmm. This is, the branding is strong. The brand is strong for Taylor Twellman. So what did this moment do for you and your connection to sports and soccer? Because it was that popular.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it was organic. It was real. It was unplanned, obviously. I remember sitting in the control room. We had this great little room where it's got probably about 12 to 13 television screens where Scott Van Pelt and his crew prepped SportsCenter for that night. And that was a big night. You know, a lot of people forget, but Messi was, you know, Argentina's qualifying. Life was on, and they gave up an early goal in that game. So we had all the CONMEBOL games on. We had CONCACAF in. I remember when Panama scored a goal but didn't score a goal, and I looked at everybody in the room. I said, that's going to bite us in the ass. That is going to bite us in the ass. And like, hold on, United States is going to score. I said, mark my words, that's going to be a storyline. And so the drama built. When the game started, guys, we had 4 people in that room. When the game's ended, we had about 20 people in that room.
Wow.
Because the drama started building, everybody started seeing it. And everyone was kind of looking at me being the quote-unquote soccer guy. Max Brados was crying because he was that shook up by what just happened. And so everyone in that room saw it. And yet there was, if I'm not mistaken, there was a college basketball game on ESPN. So we had to go to ESPN News. Max looks at me 4 seconds before we go on air and basically looks at me and says, what do you want to do? And I go, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. Just get it to me and I'm like, we'll see what happens. I'm so thankful I didn't say the F-bomb. I am. I mean, you guys know me well enough now. That's an accomplishment in itself. but it was real and it's organic. Now, it's turned into something that I had no idea would turn into that. I was just still pissed off. The fact that I only slept 2 hours that night and then did, I think, over 35 shows the next day, ending with Scott Van Pelt that night. And Scott and I had a real open conversation about the state of U.S. soccer and where it's going. And I still stand by that to this day. I'm not totally sure where it is going with the leadership and whatnot. But yet I sat there and I was like, huh, that's interesting. I remember getting a call 2 days later from the news editor saying that clip has run in over 140 some odd countries.
Wow.
And then I started thinking, oh man, like I was initially pissed because I'm like, that's what they're going to talk about for it? Because we're all in this to grow the game. It wasn't about that for me. It never, still to this day, is it? That was my natural reaction.
Don't lie. You were wondering how to say it. How do I say this in Dutch and in Italian?
Because, by the way, I know the direct translation of German. It kind of falls flat. You're better just running it in English. Just run it in English. But now we do it on Sports Nation. We do it on a lot. Sports Center has the audio. Scott Van Pelt uses it all the time. But for Sports Nation in itself, I'm only using it as a vehicle to tell important stories that I feel are impactful. Myers Leonard using the K word, Urban Meyer hiring a racist at Jacksonville that immediately, less than 24 hours after we did, what are you doing? And it goes viral. He fires that guy. The Chicago Bears and their quarterback situation, the Rooney rule in sports, right? So I'm only going to do it when it's impactful, because I think that brand of what are we doing means it needs to be something important, like the United States missing the World Cup for the first time in how many years?
When you take a bite at In-N-Out, you're like, well, obviously, what are we doing?
And by Christian, like, I wish I did. What are we doing on that? That was just like real. That was in the middle of an NBA conversation, and Trevor Scales, my partner, goes, yeah, it's like In-N-Out Burgers, and it was like a light went off. I'm like, you know what? I'm going off on that, too.
He hates the West Coast. You heard him. Yeah.
Thank you so much to Taylor Twellman for joining us, man. Dude, you are welcome back anytime you would like to be on here. We're absolutely honored. I figured you will probably mention this, but I want to mention a question we had from another fan, Luke Sturgio, who asked, what's your ultimate goal with the Think Taylor Foundation, which I know is your foundation, very, very important to you.
It's a great question. My goal is just to help education and awareness. And last year we had, before the pandemic, so it'd be 2019, we had 5 million boys and girls in the United States of America take the Think Taylor Pledge, which is just basically pledging ownership of your own brain and helping educate the younger generation so parents and coaches get out of the way. That's all I'm trying to do. Behind the scenes, I'm trying to get concussion substitution rules into the game, which we are going to get there. And I promise everyone, Major League Soccer is going to turn the corner very quickly on that. So my job is just to use my injury and a platform to better educate and make more people aware.
And umamiectomies. We got to get that involved in it as well.
I mean, umamiectomy? Like, yeah. Huh?
I thought
what?
It was
you're close.
Otomy, but now it's an ectomy. Then it sounds like vasectomy. It's a little confusing. Like,
yeah, well, you know, it advances so fast, medicine, you know?
So thank you so much for joining us, man. For real, this is super cool. Is there anything else you want to plug? Obviously, follow Taylor Twellman on Twitter because you are one of the most loved and hated men in American soccer
absolutely.
When it comes to Twitter as well.
Yeah, which is fantastic. That means I'm actually saying something. At Taylor Twellman on Twitter and Instagram, and then you can watch me. Obviously on the soccer properties with ESPN and Sports Nation on ESPN Plus.
Great.
Okay, make sure to check those things out. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Follow at Fubo Sports on all social media channels and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. All right, and a couple other pieces of business. Taylor Twellman, we need your Golazo GIF. We've been doing this the last few weeks. Stu Holden just did one recently. He went nuts. He celebrated on television, taking off his shirt. I'm not telling you that's what you have to do. I'm just telling you what some of your peers are doing out here. Okay,
so Stu wants to take off his shirt.
Yeah.
If I ever took off my shirt, my dad would literally kick me out of the house.
Yeah.
My dad had one rule. If you take off your shirt after scoring a goal, you're not my son anymore. I was like, all right, I got it. He told me that at like age 8.
Hilarious. So
that's ingrained. Right now, I've straddled a corner kick post. I've done many different things, sure, but I will not take my shirt off. My dad would kill me.
But so you just scored a goal in the Whataburger Championship. Okay? Oh. You just won it for your team. You get unlimited Whataburger for life. What is your goal celebration?
Yes! Fuck yes!
Okay.
Exact words, what I said after the bicycle kick against the Chicago Fire 2007.
Let's go.
Good. They need to be reminded, too.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Because Juan Carlos Osorio immediately was like, I'm getting out of MLS.
Okay. Incredible work, Taylor Swam. Thank you so much for joining us again. Let us end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So,
and don't forget to follow us all on social media and all that.
I did. I said that already, yeah. Alexis.
Okay, cool.
All right, so for Taylor Twellman, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Hooligans!